You were made to be ruled. In the end, it will be every man for himself.
What do?
We get ready.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. So when we needed them, they could fight the battles that we never could. Gentlemen, what are you prepared to do?
No offense, but I don't play well with others.
Big man in a suit of armor. Take that away, what are you?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn sure we'll avenge it.
Dr. Banner, your work is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Thanks.
Fuck!
Everybody, welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. You may remember who I am. I've been here once or twice before in the past. I'm Stu, by the way.
And I'm Hunter.
Hunter's there. And went missing due to a new baby in the household. And I want to thank Rick for jumping on the episode with Hunter.
Yep. Thanks, before. Rick.
Thank you, Rick, our brother in arms over the United States of Geekdom. I'm sure it won't be the last time you hear Rick on this show or us on his show.
Yeah.
Going to sort of step out of the circle a bit here. The square, the circle, whatever the hell the shape is. And do a review. We did do one for Thor pretty much this time last year, if I'm not mistaken, when I was down.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
To the date, I think it was.
Yeah, because Music Fest just ended and barbecue. It's like about a week off.
Yeah, it is. So we did the Thor review there, and that actually was quite popular with people. It was something that, you know, as you heard the show, was we thought about doing in your car coming back from the burger joint, thinking, well, let's do a Thor review. We're talking about it in the car, anyway, let's do it while we're there.
It was fresh in our heads.
Oh, yeah, it was. But this time around, so we're not making this an annual thing, it's just something we do when we need to talk about it, and we need to talk about the film we're going to be discussing today, which is The Avengers.
The Avengers, one of the most anticipated movies of the year.
I would say of the last 3 years at least.
Yeah, it's ever since Iron Man came out, people have been waiting with bated breath ever since they saw that post-credits stinger in Iron Man. People have been waiting for this movie.
Oh, yes, they have. And, yeah, for those of you who know my thoughts about this, I've kept my feelings about this film not so quiet.
No, if you follow Stu on Facebook, you know what he thinks already.
Yeah, and people have been asking me over and over, well, let's just get to it. I didn't like this film.
Okay? Well, and you know, we're going to talk about this movie, so you already seen it. We're not going to do a plot breakdown or anything. So if you haven't seen The Avengers, which you probably have already since the entire world seems to have seen it on the opening weekend, go see it and then come back. Because we're just going to talk about it. We're not going to go through the plot beat by beat or anything.
No.
We're just going to talk about it. So, Stu, right out from the get-go, broadcasted hate.
for this movie.
And you know, you've said a few things here and there, but it, since you saw it before everyone else did, because it came out in Australia first.
Yes, we got it, I think, 10 days early before the our North American brothers and sisters did.
Yeah, so, I mean, you were coming out before everyone else here had seen it and said you didn't like it, which which attracted a lot of angry comments.
Yeah, it did. And I will be addressing that issue later on after review, not before but after. Okay. But yeah, as Hannah said, Australia got it on Anzac Day, April 25th, which was 10 days before North America did, and I think a couple of days before Great Britain did as well. I think they're getting on the 27th. So couldn't get into the 25th screening because sold the fuck out
at my
local theater. Yeah. So I thought, okay, I'll buy a ticket that night on the 25th, which I tried to get to the 8:45 session, and yeah, completely sold out. Mm-hmm. I said, give me a ticket for the next day, for the 11 a.m. screening on the 26th, and got into that screening, 25 people in the whole cinema. It was bare. I'm like, okay.
Really?
I thought, well, this is odd, because day one sold out. Every session sold out. And I was too lazy to travel another 15 minutes down the road. Well, whatever, it's just me. So I thought, well, I'll buy a ticket for the next day. I had a day off anyway still. I was working. I didn't work until nighttime anyway. But I bought a ticket.
Did you go by yourself, or did you go bring any of the kids? Or
No, I went by myself. The kids, my kids are not old enough quite yet.
Okay.
My daughter's, well, you know, 14 and a half, turning 15, but she's got no interest in the Avengers.
Right.
You know, probably because bloody Kardashian or Snooki's on it, so she's got no interest at the moment.
Oh, poor creature. Yeah. She must be re-educated.
I try. God knows I try.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I go into the theater, I take a seat, and next to nobody near it. Like I said, 25 people the most. Okay, there's going to be a huge intake of people. Nobody turns up. Okay, cool, whatever. I like a quiet screening as it is. And yeah, walked out, and 142 minutes later was like, man, I really did not like that film much at all. Okay. It's got its moments. Okay, for the people who have been asking me, I know there's been a few people who said, what didn't you like? I said, listen, you're going to have to listen to the Midnight Movie Cowboys episode, because me and Hunter agreed we got to talk about this film.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether we both liked it or both didn't like it, it's just something, it's so big. And I suppose we'll probably do it for The Dark Knight Rises later on. I don't know. I'm not too sure. We may do it.
It depends on if it's something we feel the need to talk about. You know?
Exactly, yeah. And like I said, with Thor, we decided to talk about it. And because I had a low level of sort of, anticipation about Thor. And I was actually genuinely surprised how much I liked it. So that was that. But with the Avengers, everything had been building to this for at least 3 years. I mean, Iron Man came out in, 2008? So we're talking 4 years now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say at least the Avengers was being planned another 6 months before Iron Man. So, I mean, you don't just, sporadically shoot an end thing and think, okay, we've shot Agent Coulson or whatever his name is. Coulton, whatever his name is.
Coulson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll shoot him and let's make an Avengers movie. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to pre-prepare for at least 6 months beforehand. So they've been working on this for damn near 5 years. So I had anticipation, but not quite high, because it's, sorry to say it, fanboys, it's Marvel. You know, you don't expect a great deal out of Marvel.
Well, and, I'm kind of two minds about the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
On the one hand, I really like how they are building their own movie universe for their characters. I mean, it's kind of like the difference between their regular universe, the Ultimates, all that stuff. They've built, a totally new universe for their characters in movies, and it's cool that, they've kind of taken ownership of their characters for the most part. They still don't have Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, X-Men, those guys. It's really cool that, we're seeing lots of crossover. It feels, their movies, I think, feel more like comic books than any other comic book movie. Now, on the other hand, their movies are also very art by committee. They're very homogenized feeling. They all kind of feel the same. I think it's like TV. You know, like, when you see a director who has a definite style take on a TV show, you may see hints of it, but the style, they're basically going to adhere to the style that the first director did. So Jon Favreau kind of set the tone with Iron Man, and all the other directors kind of have to adhere to it. I guess you could say it's more of a writer's, like, it's like TV, where it's kind of the writing is more important necessarily than the direction. But, you know, like, Kenneth Branagh directed Thor, but really you don't see a whole lot of Kenneth Branagh in there.
No.
You know?
You see traces of it, but you don't get the... I mean, you would never see Ridley Scott directing a Marvel film. It won't happen.
No. No, I mean, you're going to see guys who can plug in, like, Joe Johnston's and... like, I think Joss Whedon's probably, you know, who directed The Avengers is probably the biggest name. But Joss Whedon's also a TV guy. So,
yeah, I always had more Joss Whedon as a TV guy. I mean, he created Firefly. He created, what was that?
Buffy.
Buffy, Dollhouse.
Angel.
Angel, yeah. I mean, so the guy's got, I mean, Dr. Horrible he did as well. I mean, it's only a 45-minute thing, but it's still very popular. It's got a cult following.
Oh, yeah.
But Joss Whedon, I mean, fill me in, because I'm over the Avengers, and I'm over Joss Whedon. Has he actually directed any films?
Yeah, he directed Serenity.
Well, yeah, Serenity, but it's just an offshoot of Firefly, basically.
Yeah, but, I mean, I really think, though, that Serenity, like, the first, like, 15 minutes of Serenity, I think are a masterclass in just innovative storytelling on film. I mean, but it is an offshoot of Firefly. It's not, like, its own thing.
No, you know? No, no.
So I mean, he's written some other movies. He wrote Alien Resurrection, which was terrible.
Oh, God.
It was kind of a prototype for Firefly, when you think about it, because you had the... ragtag crew. Michael Wincott's a bit like Mal Reynolds, even though he gets killed like really quickly in the film. You know, what's his name? Ron Perlman's kind of a prototype for the Adam Baldwin character. You kind of have hints of like, okay, I'm going to take some of these ideas and transplant them into this new thing.
Yeah.
But Joss Whedon's a TV guy, so in that respect, he's good for something like Avengers, I think.
Did you find it a weird choice to have?
At all, because he's written for Marvel Comics a lot. He's one of the, you know, he's very popular for his work on X-Men, for his comics there. He's written a lot of comics.
Yeah, but that's writing comics. It's not directing.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. Film. But I'm saying he has a relationship with Marvel already. I don't think he's a weird choice because he's a TV guy, so he can kind of plug into this already structured universe, and he can write his own thing into it, you know, whereas, you know, hiring a Kenneth Branagh is really good with actors, but, you know, it's not really a Kenneth Branagh thing you're seeing with Thor, whereas, like, you know, Joe Johnston, you know, with all due respect, is a hack, you know, you can plug him into anything. But Joss Whedon, I think, is more of a writer, you know? And when I say he's a TV guy, I think he's more of a writer, and therefore it serves the material better than, say, a director that you plug in. I think getting a guy who writes and directs is a good thing for these Marvel movies because, you know, the writing is where it's going to stand out. It's not going to be in the direction. Okay, the direction is going to be very similar in all of them.
Yeah. Well, I've taken a critical step back. You know, I've thought about this film for quite a while. It's still very fresh in my memory, and I'm sorry, Joss Whedon fanboys. I don't think it was the right choice.
Okay, never mind. I'll let you keep going. Sorry.
Okay, it's all right. You'll get your second. Okay, but I think Joss Whedon was a wrong choice, and for this reason, it's as you said, he's a TV guy. I don't think he's got yet. What he should have had at least another 3 films under his belt, even if they're just projects he's taken from other people and just to refine his chops a bit, because as I bring up later throughout this show, I had some real problems with his choices. Okay. And now people have been saying that, well, Joss Whedon was stuck with these actors because they were already cast when he came on board.
Well, I don't think the actors are a problem. I think casting for all of them is excellent. You know, I think Marvel's done a very good job picking the people.
I got problems with the cast as well.
Well, I thought Ruffalo was the best Banner we've had so far. I think Hemsworth is very funny as Thor. I think he brings like a really good sense of humor to it.
Yeah.
Like his kind of boisterousness, I think, carries over into this film. You know, Chris Evans has a very all-American, squeaky clean.
We will let's cut it there because we will get to the actors. I just want to carry on with Whedon, and then we'll cut straight to the review because I'm going to pretty much cut loose. But with Whedon, okay, this is going to piss fanboys off, and I'm going to be saying this quite a bit, but, you know, at this point in time, and let me differentiate the term fanboys before I do anything, so the general fanboys don't get upset thinking, "Oh, you're an asshole, Stuart." What I'm getting at when I say the term fanboys is not the average fanboy who reads comics and goes to watch the film and digs it, and, you know, more power to if you did, you know, right on. I'm talking about the hardcore fanboys out there who beat you into the fucking ground because your thoughts don't mirror theirs. They don't see what they see. You know,
you don't love the things I love, so therefore, fuck you.
That's basically it. And, you know, I'm not a big comic book reader, so I probably got a disadvantage there. I haven't read the 15,000 comics they have. But, you know, that's, in the end, motherfucking fanboys. And I'm talking about the hardcore fanboys here, so... You know, I'm talking about, like I said, the ones who beat
you're talking about the ones that troll and like troll when a female writer doesn't like the Avengers, they throw misogynist slurs at her.
Exactly.
Amy Nicholson over at Box Office wrote a lukewarm, not flat out negative, but lukewarm review of the Avengers. And the comment section of it is ghastly. It's all like, "You fucking bitch, you know, why don't you stick to reviewing rom-coms, bitch, you know.
Yeah,
fuck
exactly
you for bringing..."
It was disgusting.
You know, there's this obsession that stupid movie people have with Rotten Tomato scores.
Oh, okay.
Like, when a reviewer brings down the Rotten Tomato score of their favorite film and they flip the fuck out, who gives a shit? Not everybody's going to like the movie you like. So Armand White gave Toy Story 3 a negative review. Big fucking deal. He's one guy out of so many who love it. Does the fact that the guy who writes for... does the fact that Armand White doesn't like Toy Story 3, does it make you doubt your love for it? You know, like, I don't understand why we have to attack critics.
Exactly. I mean, what is one person's review? What is one person's opinion, you fucking idiots?
Well, and
have to affect you.
And here's another thing that really annoyed me was Samuel L. Jackson tweeted a link to A.O. Scott's review in the New York Times, and A.O. Scott panned The Avengers. He didn't like it. Now, I think A.O. Scott's criticisms were a little misguided, but... Samuel L. Jackson, like, tweeting that A.O. Scott needs to be fired and needs to find a real job and blah, blah, blah.
That
classless.
That's cool.
Like, have you really never got, like, I'm sorry, Sammy, but because A.O. Scott pans your movie, that means nothing. That movie is, The Avengers has already taken more money than any of us could have imagined.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to make, it's going to do Avatar levels of business here, probably.
Yeah.
And does the fact that A.O. Scott dislikes your movie, okay, like, does that mean... It doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
It means nothing. It just means a guy who has a big platform didn't like it, but people aren't going to read the New York Times and go, "Well, A.O. Scott didn't like it, so fuck that." You know, that's not going to happen. Critics don't wield that kind of power. Critics are there to have a dialogue about cinema. They're there to talk about... They're not... there are critics out there who are consumer advocates who say thumbs up, thumbs down. It's your 750. What are you going to see? But frankly, a movie like Avengers is critic proof. You know, there's too much. The brand is too big. The buildup is too big. A critic is not going to have any power. It may have some power when it comes to the small indie movie that doesn't have any publicity budget.
Yeah,
that they can go, "Oh, go see this," and you may not have otherwise considered seeing. That's where the critic has some power over what you see. But as far as something like Avengers goes, A.O. Scott's not going to change your mind as to whether or not you're going to see the Avengers. If you want to see Avengers, you're going to see it regardless. It could get fucking horrible reviews, but it's the Avengers, and damn it, you're going to go see it. You know?
That's right. Because once you go and see it, you make your own mind up. Okay? You make your own mind up. And then, and I was getting back to what I was saying about the fanboys. I said, you know, fanboys, realize this. He or she is a critic. Do you know what the word critic means?
You criticize things.
Exactly. They criticize. That's basically it. But getting back to Whedon. Now, what I was saying was this. And fanboys, you know, you're not going to like this, what I'm going to say. But Joss Whedon, I'm sorry, is a plug-in scab director. All right?
Why do you call him a scab, though? He's not Ratner.
Okay, listen. I'm going to say that Whedon is probably about one shade above Ratner.
Oh, I don't think you're giving him enough credit.
Well, now listen
Ratner!
To this.
Ratner's a hack.
Listen to this. This is... You hear all the dead bodies of these fanboys just dropping like flies? Yeah. Did you hear that? Yeah, I'm saying it. Whedon is a scab hack director for this reason.
Okay, like I could say... Okay, never mind. Reason.
Let me back it up. Okay. For this reason, people were out there saying, oh, well, he had to work with what he had to work with because, you know, Ruffalo was already cast before Whedon came on board, or there was a few people already cast before he was on board, so if you've got problems with those actors in the film, which some people do, and I'm one of them, it's not Joss Whedon's fault. No, it is, because he's the director, okay? He could have said, this person, I've just seen their test screening, don't like him, can we try somebody else? He has that power. If he's taken over a... Fuck knows how much this money this movie cost to make. $200 million, $150 million, whatever it was. You don't just get someone who's going to say, yeah, okay, we'll go with that. No. If Joss Whedon was good enough, okay, and Joss Whedon's a very, very good television guy, like you said, okay, I don't think he's right just yet as a filmmaker. He didn't show his chops. He needed to get a couple of... I mean, it's like saying taking Peter Jackson from doing Bad Taste straight into Lord of the Rings. You can't do that.
Well...
It's basically what it felt like to me. He taken Peter Jackson straight from Bad Taste to Lord of the Rings. You hadn't let him grow with, Meet the Feebles even, and The Frighteners, and Dead Alive.
I thought with Serenity, though, like, I really thought... I think Serenity is an extremely well-made film.
It is, but the groundwork had already been laid for Serenity. You had 13 episodes before it.
Well, the groundwork had been laid for this, too.
Well, yeah, not much, because all you really had was vignettes at the end of a film. That's all you really had.
Sure,
you had
it. But it established the characters, and, you know, really, plot-wise, this is kind of a sequel to Thor. More so than the others. Like, when I tell people who are going to go see this, a lot of them are going to see it without having seen any of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I say, you can skip the other ones if you must, but Thor is the one I think you're going to be a little lost if you haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Plot-wise.
But getting back to Whedon, I've got to back up why. I can't just say, oh, he's a scab, you know, and he's a shade above Ratner for no reason. The thing was this. I felt personally the performances in the film were poor. I don't think
there was
enough
direction.
Who didn't
you like specifically?
Okay, I will jump into that. I will segue into that very, very shortly. The performances were poor, and the ending I thought was just poorly filmed. It was like, you really could have said Ratner could have done this. I told you it wasn't going to be pretty. But
I disagree.
Okay.
I really do think Whedon, like... Here's the thing is, you don't see Ratner creating anything. Whedon's created stuff. He created Firefly.
No. Push it all aside. Push it all aside, okay? I'm talking strictly for the direction of the Avengers. Don't look at Whedon's past.
If you're going to look at Whedon's past, you could say that for this film, but I think Whedon as a writer, director, I don't think he... is a shade above Ratner. I think he's way above him. I don't love Joss Whedon. I think he's overrated. But
He's not the savior that the fanboys are looking for.
No. I mean, he has a blind
Christopher Nolan was your savior. Okay,
he has a blind loyal following. Joss Whedon does. I mean,
and that's the whole problem.
People love him, but I think a lot of the fanboys in this regard are blindly loyal to the brand. I don't think it's necessarily him.
I think the Whedonites are
right now loving Cabin in the Woods, which I thought was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I saw it 3 times already.
Right.
Which I loved Cabin in the Woods. I really liked it.
Well, see, I haven't seen it, so I can't say. My focus is strictly on this film, and I'm sorry. If you're gonna push away all that Whedon's done in the past, if you're gonna do that and compare him to Ratner, he shits all over Ratner. Easily. There's no comparison. But strictly in the direction of the Avengers, I find his direction to be just a shade above Ratner's, if not on the same level. Because this film, to me, I walked out of it and I said, you know what? It was X-Men. It was X3 all over. That's all this film was. It was X3 all over.
Really?
That's what it felt like to me in the end. I walked away with that empty feeling. And probably a bit more because even though I'd had a lot invested in X-Men, especially the first two, I was so let down with X3. This one, of all the 5 films that came out, you got the Hulk, Captain America, Thor, mm-hmm. Iron Man, and
Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I'm talking about all the Avengers characters there.
Yeah.
Iron Man, loved it. Iron Man 2, disappointed, but I don't hate it. Disappointed.
Iron Man 2, there's a lot I like about it, but as a film, it's not very strong.
No, it's not very strong. It's got some very weak moments. Thor, enjoyed it. Captain America, hated it. I mean, really did not like Captain America.
I'm kind of 2 minds about Captain America. I liked it when I first saw it. Now I'm kind of like, well, it's kind of a hacky bit of filmmaking and blah, 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 but I do enjoy the 40s patriotic elements of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was well done.
I love the propaganda side of it, and I like the rah-rah America side of it.
Yeah. So there's that. But, so a film, let's get straight into the review. Fuck it, we're just taking forever. This film, I'm going to say now, got me on the wrong foot in the first 10 seconds that I sat down and watched this. All right.
Is it because it got started too quickly?
No. You're going to think, you got to be kidding me, but this was a real sticking point for me, but I managed to push it aside. So the film starts. Okay, this is one of the biggest films of the last 3 years. Let's say that, all right? There's no denying that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say
it's the biggest movie since Avatar. I mean,
yeah, so since Avatar in what, 2009? So we've got at least 2 years. 2 years, 3 years at least of the biggest film. Most anticipated film, along with Avatar and the new Dark Knight film coming out.
Right.
Okay, you've got The Avengers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Should this film not be in a massive scope? Should this film not be fucking massive in scope and visually? With that many characters?
Okay, I felt it did get to that point by the final act.
Now hear me out. I am reaching to a point that you're not seeing. So I'm sitting down, and a film this fucking big, the curtain draws back to a 1:85 ratio, which I thought was lazy. Lazy filmmaking. I mean, if Whedon was that good, even Ratner shot in scope for X-Men. So wouldn't you think that this film should be shot in scope at least?
It didn't really occur to me.
Okay, you didn't. Okay,
it didn't really register. I was just kind of looking at what was in front of me. I didn't.
That's right. And I think, and I'm not saying nothing against you. I'm just saying a lot of people wouldn't have picked it up and said, "Oh, that's all the curtain's going back to a 1:85 flat Academy television ratio." That's what I thought. That's when bells started ringing. Okay, I mean, Joss Whedon wise, bells started ringing. I thought, okay, whatever. But I managed to push it aside. I thought, well, I wish it was a bit bigger to take in the full spectrum of it all, you know, the full size. Right. And so, okay, I had to deal with that.
Yeah.
And then a gentleman by the name of Mark Ruffalo comes on the screen. And I just start beating my head repeatedly. Honestly, I like Ruffalo as an actor. Great actor.
I love him.
Great actor. But he was horrible in this film, my friend.
I disagree. I thought he was very good. I thought he was better than Edward Norton. And I say that
he was better than Eric Banner. He was not better than Eric Banner nor Norton. He was by far the worst Bruce Banner I've ever seen.
I liked Banner. I liked Norton. But I thought Ruffalo had a serious, like, I thought Hulk stole the show in this movie, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I will get to the points I did like about this later, but I did have some.
But I felt like Banner had a real, like, there was a real cynicism about him. Like, you know, there was sort of like a fugitive desperation in Edward Norton, whereas I felt like there was a sort of jaded quality that Ruffalo brought to it that took Banner to another phase that I thought was really good. Like, I thought he was a really jaded guy, really came off as jaded and intelligent, and I really liked that. I really thought his presence was welcome, and I was kind of like, they recast Bruce Banner, how lame of them to do that, even though I understood that Edward Norton's probably a pain in the ass to work with. But when I saw Mark Ruffalo, I thought he did a fine job. I really enjoyed his character. I really enjoyed what he brought to it.
Okay.
I thought he had some of the best moments in the film.
Okay. To me, Ruffalo had... He was a mix. His style was a mix. And that was half part of him walking straight off the set of Zodiac. Okay? He played that Toski character...
Yeah.
Half that, but the majority of his performance, which bugged the shit out of me, was this. He looked like the wind had changed. You know that book, When the Wind Changed? And the look he had on him was like the very first few seconds after they said to him, "Hey, Mark, you got the part as Bruce Banner." And that look of shock on him, or disbelief. That's the way he walked around in the whole film, like, you know, pottering around like, I can't believe I'm on the set of the Avengers. It's just, fuck.
I didn't get that vibe at all. No, I think I got what they were going for with the character from him, but that's the vibe I got from it.
Yeah. Chris Evans, not very good. Good in Captain America. Good in Captain America in the film. Yeah, but in this film, he looked lost.
I thought he looked lost in a... I am lost in this time period sort of way. I didn't think he felt lost in a actorly way. He just kind of felt like he was in this alien version of America that he didn't recognize or understand.
Then how the fuck did he know about things that hadn't even been invented for at least another 60 years after he was frozen?
They made a lot of jokes. There were a lot of funny gags with him not knowing, like,
he didn't look
references,
if he was frozen in, what was it, 1941 or whatever it was, and then refrozen 70 years later, he sure as hell didn't look that bad for someone who had no idea where he was in a foreign planet to him, because things had changed that much.
Sure.
Granted, it's probably a hard part to nail down. It's not easy. I'm probably being a bit rough on Chris Evans, but
I think you are being a bit rough. I think
I probably
did a fine
am,
job.
But I mean, I didn't dislike him much, Mark Ruffalo. I just thought Ruffalo was a horrible, horrible choice. They could have got someone better. Who? I don't know. I can't answer that
well,
for you.
I mean, here's the thing about Captain America is he's kind of a static character, so it's hard for him to be truly interesting.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have any flaws. You know, he's a really stand-up, all-American dude. But that's what he was conceived as.
Yeah.
And there's other people in there. But, I think Chris Evans I think that's what the character requires, and I think Chris Evans did a really good job of that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was lack of direction or if I'm seeing something a lot of people aren't seeing, but I was seeing it. You have to understand this. When I watched this, I had a clean slate, okay? I didn't have, you know, thousands upon thousands of people on the internet saying, you know, awesome, best film ever, and then me getting ideas in my head thinking, okay, so it's going to be a lot better than what I'm anticipating, and raise my levels. I walked in there completely clean. No fanboy knowledge. You know, I've read maybe a couple of Avengers comics over my years.
Never read an Avengers book in my entire life.
Yeah. I think I got one or two out in the garage somewhere. But that is my interest.
We're the opposite of Harry Knowles. I pulled my Avengers #1 off the shelf and read it before I went to go see the Avengers.
Get me started.
Yeah, okay,
Harry.
You know everything about the Avengers. Okay.
Yeah, sure you do. No worries. Okay. But, so there was that. There was Chris Evans, who niggled at me, but didn't dislike him as much as Ruffalo. I just couldn't stand. I thought they introduced Thor way, way, way too late into the film.
I loved it when he showed up. He gets tackled. He gets tackled by Tony. I thought that was great.
Even Hemsworth performance was. I watched a bit of the first of the movie Thor before I watched the Avengers. He always like, you know, how I put this. He over accentuated the Thor voice, the persona.
I think he kind of hammed it up, but I liked it, that about him. I think Thor's kind of a hammy character, and he brings the ham, and I think it's delicious.
Yeah, he does.
But
for continuity's sake, I mean, if you watch the Thor movie, you know, I am Thor, the son of Odin. If you watch him,
bring me a horse.
Yeah, but if you watch him in the image, he's like, I am Thor, son of Odin. I mean, where did you learn to change your voice like that? You know, It didn't. Loki, don't get me started on this fucking idiot who played Loki.
Oh, I love Tom Hiddleston. Oh, man. The guy might be good, but
it was a real mustache twirling performance. It's like,
He's definitely okay. Loki is a very nuanced character in Thor.
Yeah,
you know, but he's gotten to the point where he's a straight up bad guy, and so that's what he's doing now. You know, that's what he's being directed as. He's just straight up evil now. I mean, his character arc has happened. Now he's the bad guy with serious daddy issues that must be stopped.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, Stellan Skarsgård just, what, standing in a fucking room, whatever it was doing, and...
Yeah, he was just kind of there, but...
He was just there. I mean, do we need to see, what's her name again? Coldplay lady, what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow again? Was there really any point in it?
Sure, I thought she had a fun scene with Tony.
I mean, it was only there as a fucking fanboy jerk moment. That's all it was.
I didn't think it was a fanboy jerk off. I thought it was appropriate that, you know, because the banter between Tony and Pepper is a big part of the Iron Man movies.
Yeah, it is part of the Iron Man movies.
Having a scene together is great. Yeah, but this is part of the same universe. Yeah. The Stark Tower's a big part of the story. I thought having Pepper in there was great. I liked that scene. You know, I think Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, had... I think she was wearing a wig or something. But I thought that was a fun scene. I liked having Pepper in there for a little bit. I was glad that we got to see her and that she wasn't just cast aside.
I'm glad I got to see her in those jean shorts. That was nice. That was a worthy inclusion.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not a Gwyneth Paltrow fan at all. I really don't like her, but I like her a lot in the Iron Man films, especially the first one.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought
she's fine in the Iron Man film. Nothing wrong with that. She's actually very good. But you want to know what niggled at me as well? You know what bothered the shit out of me?
Okay. What?
Robert Downey Jr., great. Always great. And great in this as well. That fucking Black Sabbath t-shirt he had on.
I loved it!
I knew you'd like it, but the fact was he had it on.
And it's Never Say Die. It's got the pot test pilots on there.
Yeah, it does. But the thing is, one scene, no worries. It's a nod. Black Sabbath, Iron Man, yeah, we get it. The whole film? Really? I just thought it was a really...
was a bit... Okay, I'll give you this. It was a bit distracting. But yeah. I thought that was a great... If he's going to wear a Black Sabbath t-shirt, let it be the Never Say Die t-shirt. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Then... What got me as well, and this is all small bits of the media breaking off that I didn't would bother me. We had to get AC/DC again for Iron Man.
Well, Shoot to Thrill's kind of his theme song, you know.
Why?
I mean, just is. Don't ask
okay,
questions.
Okay, first of all, Iron Man. No, Iron Man. AC/DC and Iron Man. Okay, I dig it. No worries. Then the second movie, we had the whole damn soundtrack of AC/DC. Whatever. No worries, I'll do. Then they did it again. I'm like, oh, I sat there and I went, oh no.
Oh, I thought again? It was funny. It made me laugh.
See, but that's the thing. They're peppering this whole film with geek out moments, as you call it. But they're not
Geek out. I just kind of laughed. I was like, here comes Tony, baby. You know.
But it's almost like they have to put in AC/DC for the fanboys. You know, like, oh. Tony Stark, no AC/DC, what's going on? Oh, this film sucks.
Don't think any fanboys would bat an eye if there was no AC/DC in the soundtrack.
You want a bit? I wouldn't say all of them. I'd say there'd be some out there going, but John Favreau put AC/DC, why haven't you put AC/DC for Tony Stark?
I really don't think anyone would notice. I thought that was kind of funny that they put that in there.
Yeah.
I really don't think anybody would notice if there was no AC/DC. I really don't.
Yeah. Another scene
it's not
I had a
that big
with.
Of a deal. I mean, it was kind of just a marketing thing for Iron Man 2.
Yeah, but...
Like, hey, we can put out an Iron Man 2 album and put the AC/DC logo on it, you know?
Basically. Another thing that bothered me as well.
Okay.
that woman who goes to find Bruce Banner out in Calcutta.
Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, Scarlett. That's right. I forgot her name for a second there.
Black Widow?
Black Widow. How the fuck did she manage to find him in a population of 5 million people? Just managed to find a girl who managed to know Bruce, managed to know who Bruce Banner was, managed to get Bruce Banner and entice him back to Black Widow.
I don't know.
That bugged me a lot.
Really. I don't know. I think you're nitpicking. I mean, it. You know, they were just like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been watching Bruce, and it's in their interest to do so because he's the Hulk. I just was like, oh, they've just got a fix on him, and this is somebody their people know he's interacted with, so here you go.
And that shit about him saying, oh, we don't want you for the Hulk, we want you for your gamma radiation knowledge, bullshit. I mean,
mm-hmm.
whether they're bullshitting him or not, I don't know, but that... so many things.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's one thing Bruce learned a long time ago. Can't trust the man.
Okay. Yeah. Let me get to something I did like. All right.
Okay. Without saying completely negative. Stu's going to say something positive. Here we go.
Okay. The Hulk looked fucking fantastic.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. I'm always angry.
The Hulk looked fantastic. Really. I mean, there were some moments in this film, believe it or not, where I thought, wow, that looks awesome, you know? And that always involved the Hulk or Tony Stark.
I saw a picture that did a photograph of the Ang Lee Hulk and a photograph of the Mark Ruffalo Hulk.
Yeah.
And, like, just, wow, night and day in terms of how good he looked, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So there was that. I liked the Hulk, okay? I liked the majority of Iron Man stuff. You know what got to me in this film, though? What one of the really big sticking points was? The humor was so poor. It was really bad.
I was laughing my ass off during little parts like
Let's go and get a shawarma? What the fuck was that?
What is the point of that? It's just
stupid. It's like, what was Iron Man was like, oh, what do you want? Weed or something? Huh? What is going on? Like, you on weed or crack or them?
I don't know. I don't know. Call me easily amused. I will admit that it doesn't take much to make me laugh. I am, you know, I laughed watching Jack and Jill, so take what I say with a grain of salt.
A pound of it.
Big pound of salt.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Loki saying, he is my brother. He murdered 80 people. He's adopted. You know, I laughed during that. I laughed when Tony Stark tackled Thor and they had their little fight in the woods. I thought that was a funny scene.
That was okay. That didn't bother me at all.
And I'm trying to think. There was another thing that got a big laugh from me, and it's escaping me right now.
I know. I'll tell you one.
Stanton was hilarious.
I'll tell you one that bugged the shit out of me.
When something Hulk, bothered Hulk, you, Stu?
It did. When Hulk was standing there next to Thor, and he punches Thor out, what the fuck was the point of that?
It's just a cheap laugh.
It's a cheap laugh. It's all it is. I said, like Malcolm McDowell, laugh.
Okay, I remember what made me lose my shit was when Hulk, when Loki screams at Hulk, I'm a god and you puny moronic creature, and Hulk just whips the shit out of Loki in like a second.
That I liked a lot.
That was so goddamn funny.
That was brutal. I really liked that a lot.
I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard during that.
Like I said, all the moments involving Hulk in this were fucking awesome. Really were awesome. Okay, so take from that what you
like will. Like him punching out that giant monster, fucking badass. You know?
Yeah, but... The end scene... The end fight, the Transformers fight that we get again.
I will say, when I was watching that sequence, I went, oh, this is a lot like Transformers 3, except better constructed.
By the time I walked out of this film, because of that last, 25 minutes, 30 minutes it goes for? At least 25 minutes?
It's a pretty long battle.
Yeah.
It's not as long as the final battle in Transformers 3, which is like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's just insanely long. But I walked away from this film in the end, when it all was said and done. And I'll get back to it. But because of this final sequence, I literally walked out with a splitting headache.
Did you want to see it in 3D or 2D?
I saw it in 2D.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was just no... curious. It wasn't
I saw
the
3D.
Okay. So the effect of the 3D wasn't bothering me to the point where I actually got a headache. The final battle was so loud, visually loud.
Yeah.
And jittery and jerky that I really... I walked away. I had to come home and take 2 aspirin because it was just killing me.
Yeah.
That bad. And I mean, a battle, you know, to the death on the streets again. Haven't we seen that? Haven't we seen it before?
Sure, and, you know, it did strike me as very similar to Transformers 3. I thought it was way tighter than the final battle in Transformers 3.
Actually, the final battle reminded me more of X3, and that's why I walked away thinking, it's just X3 all over again.
No. X3 was with Magneto moving the bridge and all that bullshit. No. Did you see Transformers 3?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just recently, but yeah.
I mean, it even had, like, the big floaty creatures flying through the sky, even though they were robots, you know?
Yeah.
It just had a lot of stuff that reminded me of Transformers 3.
Yeah, that's one of the problems I have with this film. It's just like... Okay. I better turn it over to you now, because you've barely gotten about 4 words in the last half an hour. So, tell us what you did like about it.
Okay, well, I mean, one thing that I thought was really interesting about it was it is not at all a standalone movie. And, you know, one thing about a lot of superhero films is that they try to go out of their way to be self-contained.
Yeah.
But Avengers didn't really bother itself with that. And I think that's a good thing because it goes back to what I was talking about earlier with Marvel kind of creating its own comic book universe with movies.
Yeah.
I mean, their movies are getting... They're creating a mythology that's rich enough in their movies to where they can get away with... And, you know, the branding is getting strong enough to where they can get away with just throwing things in there. Like, more so, like, I was talking with this guy at work, a film theater critic at work at the newspaper I work for. And he's a big Marvel DC guy. Loves comic books.
Yep.
Big geek. And he was talking about, like, he wrote a review. He does the occasional film review, and he reviewed Iron Man 2. And he gave it a very positive review, but what he said about Iron Man 2 was it at the time, and I think Avengers, I agreed with him on a certain level, not because I thought Iron Man 2 was very good, but because I thought it was what he said. He said it was probably the best comic book movie ever made at that point, and not because it's a great movie, like he said, but it's a movie that captures what superhero comics are. Like, you have all these costumes, different characters populating this world, and it feels like it's a part of a larger whole, and that's the way you feel when you read comics, and especially now. And I think that Avengers does that even more so. Like, it's kind of like when you see, like, the DC does these great animated movies like Justice League, New Frontier, and stuff.
But
you get all these costume superheroes in one place, and it kind of feels like a part of a bigger mythology that, you know, is kind of there, but, you know, it's, you feel like there's more story to be read elsewhere. And I felt Avengers really felt like that to me. It felt like picking a comic book off the shelf and going on an adventure with your favorite superheroes. And this time they're all together in the same room. It's like Dirty Dozen with superheroes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right to a particular point, but in the end, the execution of the film, in my eyes anyway, was just poor. Let me ask you something. What do you think of Hawkeye's character and Jeremy Renner?
I thought, like, here's the thing is, I like Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye.
Mm.
And I like the way he carries himself. I like the way he does it. His character really does not... His character is a very side character. He's not... Black Widow has more to do than she did in Iron Man 2. In Iron Man 2, I thought she was kind of dead weight, window dressing. You know, I don't really care for Scarlett Johansson much.
Yeah.
I don't think she's a very good actress. I liked her more when she was in stuff like Ghost World, and now she just kind of feels like a pretty face. She doesn't feel like an actress anymore.
Yeah.
Ever since she turned into a robot, she's like a fembot now or something. You know. She used to look like a real person. She doesn't anymore.
Like in Matchpoint, yeah.
Like in Matchpoint, I think she looks like a robot. You know, I think in all the Woody Allen movies, and you can tell Woody Allen has a fetish for her.
Oh yeah, totally.
But
the thing
Soon Yi's got to be aware of it. But
Soon Yi's getting too old, man.
She's in that 30 mark. She's like 30. you know?
You old bitch.
Yeah, too old for Woody.
Yeah, but anyway, Hawkeye character, I mean, a lot of people run around saying, oh, I can't wait for the Hawkeye film. I can. I wouldn't be watching it.
Oh, there's talk of a Black Widow movie. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Nah.
Like, okay, like, I thought Black Widow had way more to do in this movie. She had a bit of an arc.
Yeah.
She had stuff to do. But at the end of the day, she and Jeremy Renner are very much side characters.
Yeah.
And... You know,
well, Hawkeye did. I mean, obviously, this is Hawkeye's character where he just sits there and shoots bow and arrows and shit.
I mean, would they even make a Hawkeye movie? I mean, does Hawkeye even have his own comic? I'm not sure.
Oh, I've
always thought he was just a member of
the
Avengers. Yeah, I thought he was always kind of a man on the side.
Yeah, but you got your fanboys out there screaming, oh, can't wait for Hawkeye film is coming.
Yeah, I just remember there was talk of a Black Widow movie. I was like, really? I mean...
Oh, that'd just be pure eye candy. That's all it would be.
On the Damaged Viewing podcast, they said something funny that, like, Black Widow just feels out of place because, like, you have that awesome shot in the film where all the Avengers get together and the camera goes around them and you see Hulk flexing his muscles. You see Captain America with his shield. You see Iron Man, like, with his suit.
Yeah.
You see Thor with his hammer. And then you see Black Widow with, like, a pistol.
Yeah.
It's just like, which one of these does not belong?
It's kind of like that scene in Harlem Nights where they got Eddie Murphy and fucking whoever it was shooting the machine guns, and just fucking Arsenio Hall pulls out a little gun and goes pop with one bullet, and it sticks out like a sore thumb. But the Hawkeye character as well, it's like I was just bored.
Well, and the thing is like, from the get-go, he's possessed by Loki.
Yeah.
So, he's under Loki's control, so he really doesn't have anything to... I mean, for a while, he's fighting them, and then, you know, during the, like, at the beginning of the third act, he snaps out of it, so he kind of comes into the game pretty late as a character.
Yeah, but if I want to see a crazy guy with a bow and arrow, I'll watch fucking... Ted Nugent's Spirit of the Wild on TV instead. It would be more interesting watching a crazy old rocker, you know, Obama-hating old man with long hair and a fucking and a guitar than Jeremy Renner with a fucking bow and arrow. Just,
I mean, I thought Hawkeye was kind of fun as a side character.
Yeah.
But as a character, he didn't have a lot to do. No. And really, I thought his presence in the film was kind of servicing Black Widow's arc more than anything.
Yeah, it just. I mean, to hear people run around screaming, "I want a Hawkeye film." You just,
oh, it's just,
really,
it's just blind fanboys talking out their ass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But all right, is there anything else you want to interject in this? I'm just about said my piece.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna. You want to do final thoughts?
Final thoughts on it? Yeah.
Final thoughts.
I'm just gonna say this now. This is my final word on the Avengers. I don't want to see it again. I don't hate it. You know what? I really, really could have pushed this further down the ladder by all the fanboys out there, all you fucking idiot fanboys out there in internet land. Okay? And if you go getting upset, then you obviously got a guilty conscience on it, so fucking suck my wong. But I could have dragged this down the ladder. I'm giving this 2.5. A mediocre...
Out of how many? 5?
2.5. Out of 5.
Okay.
Okay, so it's run of the mill, middle of the road, whatever analogy you want to use with it.
Okay.
I could have easily dragged it down to 1 star and said, you know what, just to stick up the fanboys' asses, fuck it, I'm giving it 1 star. But I'm not. I'm going to be objective about it and say 2.5. That's what I thought of it. Had some excellent, excellent moments, but they were outweighed by the ones that really bothered me.
Okay. Well, my final thoughts, I think, as a movie, it's definitely... I like that it's not standalone. I think out of... all the comic book movies we've ever gotten, I think it's the best representation of comic books that has been made into a movie. Now, does that say it is the best comic book movie ever made? It is in terms of what comics are, but as far as a film goes, as far as a movie goes, no, most certainly not. But I did like it. I thought it was very enjoyable. I had a blast watching it. I'm going to go see it again. And I'm going to go see it in 2D because I saw it in 3D. And I thought the 3D actually, like, I was prepared to, like, be sniffy about the 3D because I usually am.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought
3D
actually...
I was surprised you went and saw it in 3D. I was quite
shocked. Well, I went to see it at a preview screening, so I didn't really have a choice. But I thought the 3D was very impressive. I thought it looked great. And it was retrofitted, which made me go, huh? Because there were shots that were very impressive looking in 3D.
Okay.
But I mean, as far as a comic book movie goes, like I said, it really is a brilliant representation of comics on the screen. Now, not the best comic book movie ever made, but I give it a, like, I think because of that, I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah. I wouldn't say, out of the Marvel properties come out in the last few years, I wouldn't say it's better than X-Men First Class. That was stellar.
X-Men First Class is a very good, like, it's a very good standalone movie. I think my favorite of the Marvel Studios movies is still Iron Man. I thought Iron Man was a brilliant movie, and Thor I think is a lot of fun too.
Yeah, Thor was a lot of fun indeed.
But it's flawed, but it's there's a lot to like in it.
Yeah, you know what bugged me as well? I've got to bring this up, yeah. And I nearly walked out, but I thought, no, I've paid my money. Let's suit up. Oh no. Oh, why? Why you got to do that for? Let's suit up.
It's a cheesy line, but
like I said, I could have given this, because of the fanboys, I could have given this a 1.5 out of spite, but I'm not going to.
But you don't want to do that. No, gotta be fair. The movie didn't come and shit on your doorstep. They did, you know.
Yeah, and now that's gonna segue into the fanboys. So I'm gonna tell you fucking assholes a new one. Just because someone out there. Sit back and grab a beer, Hunter. You won't get a chance.
Oh, I've got a beer right here.
You better get a six pack.
I'm gonna be the audience for a second. Go.
I think you better. All you fanboys out there in internet land who hide in your mother's fucking basements in your underwear with your fucking Hunger Games girl posters on your wall. Grow up. I'm telling you now, Stuart. I'm telling you, grow up. Please grow up, okay? Because I don't like your film, okay? Your life is not gonna be affected. You're going to carry on the next day. You're still going to have no job. You're still going to have no girlfriend or no prospects of getting a fucking girlfriend because you're sweaty and smelly and you got no personality whatsoever. And you bow to your god, the fucking tomato meter, on the whatever the fuck they call this thing on Rotten Tomatoes. All right, don't bow before your god. The tomato meter is not your Buddha.
Do what?
Okay, the IMDb top 200 or what top 100 is not the be all end all of films. Okay.
Oh God, no.
Okay, so please grow up. I'll make a donation in your part, or I'll set up a PayPal account. Save the fanboys PayPal account, okay?
Has this movie entered the IMDb top 250? Surely it has.
Oh, it has. Yeah,
fanboy upvoting. Yeah.
Yeah, but because it's on these lists and the tomato meter has got it a high rating, don't ever tell me I'm wrong for an opinion. Okay, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. Okay? Whether you like mine or you don't shift your thoughts onto me and tell me I'm wrong, because you come across like a fucking dickhead, really.
Well, and like, and here's the thing is, like, if you like something, you like it.
Yeah.
Does the fact that Stuart Balk or Amy Nicholson or A.O. Scott or whoever, does the fact that they not like it, if the fact that they don't like it bothers you, you really need to re-examine your love of something. Because if you were secure in your love of the things you like, you wouldn't be bothered by it, you know? And besides, how boring would the world be if we all liked the same shit and we all disliked the same shit? Where would the conversation be? That's why film critics exist, is to create conversation. They exist to create conversation, not to sling mud so we can have a conversation about that, you know?
Yeah.
Now... Well. You know, you can, if a critic says something you disagree with and you want to talk about why you disagree with it, that's fine. But it's when you get down to insults and nastiness, that's when it's not okay.
Yeah, that's right.
But here's the refrain from our listeners, especially our fellow podcasters, Stuart. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
But you liked Wolverine and Green Lantern.
Oh, no. Oh, look. Oh, bad Stuart. Oh, you idiot. Oh, I'm getting spanked right now.
Therefore, your opinion has no weight.
No, it doesn't. Of course not.
That's seriously though. We saw that. Did that pop up? A few people said, "Stuart, you liked Wolverine and Green Lantern." It's so fuck up. You.
Oh, I've heard, Stuart, you're dumb. You're wrong. You've seen the wrong film. Oh, you must have seen the Avengers that was made in 1998 with fucking John Steed and Sean Connery, and you know, it's like I'm not gonna go into my house and reassess everything I've just seen over the last 2.5 hours to appease the fanboys out there. It's not gonna happen. I'm a stubborn cunt. You must know that. I'm not gonna do it.
Oh, Stuart, you are probably the most stubborn human being I know, and that's one reason I like you.
That's right.
Because I will never back down.
I will never back down. Okay, you're only gonna inflame me even more. But at least I can actually give something, my thoughts on something, without being attacking. Apart from now, because you got me angry. This has been 2 weeks of wanting to strangle, you know, half a dozen fanboys' necks because they've just gotten on my nerves. But I'm going to do it in a restrained manner. This is restrained, people. You should see when I really am angry. It's not pretty. Head for the hills, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, grow up. I mean, someone doesn't like what you like. Move on.
Should be noted that Stuart has a garage full of starving dingoes that he sicks on his enemies.
They're ready for the grill.
Yeah. I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah. But it's like, get them on the smoker. But honestly, I mean, reassess your life. If AO Scott doesn't like what you like, I mean, man, I feel sorry for you out there. Discussion is a healthy thing. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're having this. I liked the movie. Stu didn't.
No.
But you know what? I'm okay with the fact that he didn't like it.
That's right. I'm not going to turn around to Hunter and say, you know, this show is over because you like this. I mean, that's just ridiculous, really. You know, and it's please stop bowing to your tomato meter. It looks ridiculous.
Oh, my God. No, seriously, whenever people freak out and go, a reviewer gave a bad review to this movie and brought the Rotten Tomatoes score down, those bastards, I'm like, fucking, like, do something else with your life, please. Like, you clearly don't have enough problems to worry about. Like, you know, your life is pretty good if this is the kind of stuff you worry about. You need some real problems. Like,
yeah.
Get a girlfriend.
Get a girlfriend to bother you or something. Get one that's gonna make you burn some calories to keep her happy. You know.
Oh God. Oh, the tomato meter. Oh shit!
Then you'll be worrying about the fucking tomato.
You say
tomato meter, whatever.
Tomato meter. You say tomato.
Do you say tomato? I say tomato.
That's exactly right. I was waiting for that. Oh, fanboys! I've said my. I'm fucking done with you. Fuck off. I'm done with you, fanboys. That's it. I'm never gonna rant about you again. Basically, I'm just gonna get an IP blocker. If somebody who's a fanboy, it's like, it's going to have a thing thrown up on my Mac saying, fanboy, block it. I don't want to see you no more. All right, Avengers, done. Let's get some plugs of our friend shows out the way as well.
Great. Yep, let's do it.
All right.
First up, I want to give a big shout out to Joachim Thiessen. He has a new podcast that is absolutely fantastic called The Film Man, and that's Man like Michael Mann with two N's.
Yes.
F-I-L-M-M-A-N-N. And you can check his show out on iTunes. It's called The Film Man.
And it's good. The topics that Joaquin picks up, I said to him, I said, man, you got some real nuts out there. Not crazy people, but some real balls. Picking films that nobody's heard of and talk about. I said, yeah, more power to you. Because he was a big supporter of this show for a long time, and hopefully still will be after this. But... And excellent, really, really good. Totally worth your time. Absolutely worth your time.
I mean, it's just him, and it's him. It kind of reminds. He's kind of like the 24 Frames cast. It
exactly reminds me of Tom Shores.
Yeah. Or like Left Field Cinema, which is kind of defunct now, but it's a lot like that. But you can check out his show on iTunes or at thefilmman.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
And that's, again, Man with two N's like Michael Mann. But he has two episodes up. One's on Harakiri, the Japanese samurai film, which is a very intense movie that's available on Criterion, and he just put out an episode on John Frankenheimer's Seconds.
Yeah.
So really cool choices to discuss, and he has a great voice. He kind of sounds like Werner Herzog, but less crazy. And I've told him he sounds like that, and he took that as a compliment, so I'm happy.
As you should.
But his website also has written reviews and such, and he is a great guy, big supporter of the show, and so go check his show out, especially if you have a taste for the art house.
Definitely check it out. 24 Frames Cast, Tom Jennings over there.
24framescast.blogspot.com.
Tom always puts out killer shows. He's got a new release, got one on the way. I can't wait for
his latest show.
Yeah, I heard
Criterion Roundup.
Yeah, I heard.
And he wasn't gonna. He refrained from talking about Last Temptation of Christ. He tweeted that it's the worst movie ever, and I said, I can't wait to hear you talk about it so I can explain to you why you're wrong.
And basically, Hunter got owned.
What? He said he just wasn't going to talk about it. He ran away.
Yeah. No, Tom, all jokes aside, Tom's show is brilliant. It really
I love Tom. He is, you know, I think one of these days, Tom and I are probably need to discuss Last Temptation, because I am curious to know why he didn't like it. So I think that's a great movie. But we both agreed that the Peter Gabriel soundtrack is the boss.
I would love to hear that discussion, but please don't mention the tomato meter throughout the show. That's all I ask you.
Oh, Tom brought the tomato meter rating down on Last Temptation of Christ, man. Gotta take him out.
All right, so it's Tom's
him
show
and those
well.
Right-wing religious zealots, Michael Medved, man.
Oh, God. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Okay, who else are we going to plug? We're going to plug United States of Geekdom.
Yep. Stuart Softon over there. I was just on an episode recently talking about the Zucker brothers.
You've heard Rick. You've heard Andrew. You've heard Rick's, Cole here. You know who they are. If you listen to the show, you know who they are. If you haven't, get over there. It's still the one that cracks me up the most. It's fucking awesome. Along with this other one that Hunter's going to mention.
There is another podcast that, and this is one of my favorite movie podcasts going on right now.
It is very good.
And it was one of my favorites before I appeared on it. I've been on it three times. There's a fourth episode with me on it coming up. It's called The Damaged Viewing Podcast.
Yeah.
And you can visit it at damagedviewing.com. And each week, it's a guy, Lewis Fowler, and he has a guest with him each week. His co-host is John Grace, who's a really sharp guy, knows his stuff. John is on there most times,
yeah.
But I was on there with him and John to talk about Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. I was in there with with Lewis and a guy named Mitch talking about Heartbreak Ridge. And then I was on there with just Lewis talking about Jack and Jill, and we have a discussion on God Bless America coming up.
What was the one where you fucking canned my fellow countrymen for about 3 hours?
That wasn't me. That was them. That was the Ghost Rider one.
Fucking bullshit. It was you as well. You had
it
your
was
hand
okay.
It was, that was bit. That was yeah. It was
they went further than I would have ever dreamed of going.
It was shocking to hear it the first time, but when you step back and it was actually quite funny. You know, you take it all in stride. It was a joke. And Lewis
really
actually,
funny. I apologize
very good enough to come up
throughout.
To me and say, "Hey, hope you didn't get upset." But I was like, "Nah." Nah, not at all. But
and I apologize profusely throughout. I was like, Stuart, I'm sorry.
But no, definitely check out Damage Viewing. Very, very
Damage
funny
Viewing.
Show.
It's a funny show. Their latest episode is on Goon, the new Sean William Scott hockey movie.
Yeah.
And they just did an episode a week ago called Rock and Roll High about Rock and Roll High School.
Yes.
And that is a fantastic discussion, just going through music and everything. It's a fantastic episode.
And Lewis and John, if you hear me this now, I'd like to come on one day. It'd be good fun. We could talk about Can't Stop the Music or something like that. That'd be good fun.
Yeah, oh, Lewis is a big mark for Can't Stop the Music.
There you go. Make for a good discussion, Lewis. All right, well, that's it for this time around. I'm done. That's it. Please don't ask me nothing more about the Avengers. Everything you want to know about why I didn't like it or what I did like is on here. That's it.
Yep.
Avengers, I'm done with ya.
It's assembled.
Will I own this on home video? No. Will I watch it a second time? No. Will I go watch the sequel?
I'm gonna go see it again.
You what?
Did you see the? Did you? I said I'm gonna own it. I'm gonna see it again, and I'm excited. I was excited to see Thanos show up at the end.
That was actually quite good. Before we leave, okay, Marvel, as most of you guys know who watch them, will stick everything at the very end. My audience started walking out as soon as the credits started rolling. Mm. Half of them got down the runway, and then something else popped up very, very early on in the credits. I applauded Whedon for that. I thought, that was a nice touch. That was almost like saying, you're going to walk out? When are you going to miss this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That way people don't have an excuse saying, well, I don't never watch all the credits. I just watch some and I go. Well, you've watched some, and then you've got something else. So.
And the thing at the very end was just a gag, you know? If you missed it, oh well.
We didn't get it. Because I stayed till the very end as well. We didn't get it.
Really?
No.
Yeah, so, did anybody tell you about it?
Rick told me yesterday what it is.
Yeah, it's
about
them at a they're eating shawarma.
And he told when he told me, I thought, you know what, if I had seen that, I would have tore the screen up with a fucking.
Oh, I thought that was so fucking funny. I laughed when.
All right, Avengers, I'm done. All right.
All right, stick a fork in it.
By the way, fanboys, you know, like I said, I differentiated which fanboys I was talking about. For the ones who love this film, God love you. For the ones who piss me off, this song's for you. Adios.
Adios.